Hare Krishna, everyone. So we'll try to, we'll start chapter 5 today, Karma Yoga, Action and Krishna Consciousness. So first, so let's see the connection between the chapters. So this actually, the connection is similar to what happens in 4th chapter. No, Arjuna is confused again. He's still not clear about whether to work or not to work. So that's why it opens up with this question by Arjuna. So let's read that verse. Arjuna uvacha sanyasam karmanam krishna punar yogam cha samyasi jashreya etayorekam tanme bruhi sunishchitam. Arjuna said, oh Krishna, first of all, you asked me to renounce work. And then again, you recommend work with devotion. Now, will you kindly tell me definitely which of the two is more beneficial? So, it's similar, right? Like in beginning of 4th chapter also, he asks the same question. Whether to work or not to work. So, again, he's asking the same question. So, you're asking me to renounce work. So, it's all about emphasizing jnana, right? He emphasized jnana, transcendental knowledge. So actually chapter 4, if you read the Sanskrit of the chapter name, it should be, what is it called in Sanskrit? It's not there in the verse chapter, right? It should be Jnana Yoga. So let's see whether we get it in the guide here. Oh, it's not there. Yeah, but I heard in the lecture, so chapter 4 is called Jnana Yoga. So essentially it's all the... So that's why, you know, when Krishna emphasized about jnana, especially the verses 16 to 18 in 4th chapter, where he talks about action, inaction, action and inaction and all those things, especially the verse number 18. One who sees inaction, inaction, action, inaction, is intelligent among men, is transcendental position, although engaged in all sorts of activities. So this Burja and Prabhu was referring to as the verse which, you know, where Krishna is asking me to renounce work. And again he recommended to work with devotion, which is the last verse, 42. Right? Krishna says, no, slash all your doubts with the weapon of knowledge and armed with yoga, stand up and fight. So he's asking to fight. So again Arjuna is confused. Okay, first you ask me to, cultivate jnana, transcendental knowledge. And next you ask me to work. So which is better? Because Arjuna doesn't know how to work in knowledge. Same thing. How to work with knowledge, he doesn't know. So then actually this leads a path for Krishna to give clear understanding about these two paths and which is better, you know, for all of our understanding. So we can read like a section in the purport. Seventh line down in the 4th chapter. This is actually middle of the line, so, and in the 4th chapter.
Yeah. The Lord told Arjuna that all kinds of sacrificial work culminate in knowledge. However, at the end of the 4th chapter, the Lord advised Arjuna to wake up and fight, being situated in perfect knowledge. Therefore, by simultaneously stressing the importance of both work in devotion and inaction in knowledge, Krishna has perplexed Arjuna and confused his determination.
Yeah, so what Prabhupada is saying is, we read about the section of sacrifices, right, which lead to knowledge. So that is where he is emphasizing jnana again. And next, last verse where he says, you know, act in knowledge, fight, that's where he emphasizing action. So Arjuna is confused about both of them. Yeah. Continue.
Therefore, by simultaneously stressing the importance of both work in devotion and inaction and knowledge, Krishna has perplexed Arjuna and confused his determination. Arjuna understands that renunciation in knowledge involves cessation of all kinds of work performed in as sense activities. But if one performs work in devotional service, then how is work stopped? In other words, he thinks that sannyasa, renunciation in knowledge, should be altogether free from all kinds of activity because work and renunciation appear to him to be incompatible. He appears not to have understood that work in full knowledge is non-reactive and is therefore the same as inaction.
Hmm.
He inquires therefore whether he should cease work altogether or work with full knowledge.
It's very clear, right? The way Prabhupada articulated it. So he thinks sannyasa renunciation means stopping all the activities. So he doesn't know how to act and still be renounced or still not get reaction. So he doesn't understand what is inaction. Right? Okay. So, okay, then that leads Krishna to answer this further. So we'll go to the next verse. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Sanyasa Karma Yogascha Nishreyashakara Ubhau Tayostu Karma Sanyasa Karma Yogo Vishishyate. The personality of Godhead replied, the renunciation of work and work in devotion are both good for liberation. But of the two, work in devotional service is better than renunciation of work. So the first path is the renunciation of work, right? So that first path is Jnana Yoga path. And work in devotion is devotional service path. They are both good for liberation. Eventually, they both lead to liberation. But Krishna is clarifying, among the two, devotional service is better. Because we will come to that in the purport, you know, why it's better. So we can have a chart out of this. So what we'll do is an exercise for us. While we are reading this section of the purports, keep track of, Prabhupada is going to talk about, which is, you know, compare and contrast kind of message. Like in Jnana Yoga, this is what it is. And, you know, devotional service, this is what it is. So we'll build a chart at the end of it. So first we'll read, and if you come across, you can write down as it is, or at the end we'll, you know, make a common chart. Okay, so let's read like last three lines of the second paragraph after the translation.
Although the mind may be engrossed in fruitive activities and influenced by ignorance, one must develop a love for devotional service to Vasudeva. Only then can one have the opportunity to get out of the bondage of material existence.
Oh, actually, sorry. A little bit further before.
As long as he does not know his real identity, he has to work for fruitative results, for sense gratification. And as long as one is engrossed in the consciousness of sense gratification, one has to transmigrate from one body to another body.
Okay, we can pause. So that's what here the essence of this translation is that, you know, one has to know one's real identity or constitutional position and act on it. Otherwise, we are acting on the fruitive platform. Because we are acting for the body. Fruitive platform means, you know, what is in it for me? All either for my body, mind, or this thing, or for my family, society, or country. So that's the main point here. You know, unless one is in constitutional position, one is working on a fruitive platform. So the first path, Jnana Yoga path, if one is not constitutionally situated, one comes down to fruitive platform. That's where Prabhupada builds later on this point. So that's why again it's saying one has to develop love for devotional service to Vasudeva, then only one can get bondage of material existence. So then Prabhupada is clarifying later on.
Therefore, jnana or knowledge that one is not this material body but spirit soul is not sufficient for liberation. One has to act in the status of spirit soul, otherwise there is no escape from the material bondage.
Okay, so this is the point Prabhupada is saying. So just theoretical knowledge that I am not this body, which is the first path, will not help one to achieve the liberation. Because one will always come back and act in the fruitive platform. Because it's theoretical knowledge, right? So that's why there is no escape from material bondage. So that's actually one of the contrast point. In the Jnana Yoga path, there is no escape for material bondage and we'll always remain in fruitive platform. Whereas here, Prabhupada is going to tell about Krishna consciousness, what happens.
Continue.
Yeah.
Action in Krishna consciousness is not, however, action on fruitive platform. Activities performed in full knowledge strengthen one's advancement in real knowledge. Without Krishna consciousness, mere renunciation of repetitive activities does not actually purify the heart of a conditioned soul. As long as the heart is not purified, one has to work on fruitative platform.
So this is another point. So without Krishna consciousness, mere renunciation will not clean purify the heart. And because heart is not purified, one has to come back to... this we have already heard so many times, right?
Yep.
Krishna called them... What does Krishna call in the earlier chapter? Such a person who acts like a Mithyachari. So Krishna calls him false pretender. Okay.
As long as the heart is not...
Purified,
one has to work on fruitive platform. But action in Krishna consciousness automatically helps one escape the result of fruitive action, so that one need not descend to the material platform.
So action in Krishna consciousness, at least consciously we are trying to do for Krishna. No, that result is for Krishna, activity is for Krishna. The verse in 4th chapter where the consumption, the consumer and all the 5 aspects, everything becomes transcendental. So because of that, it doesn't come to the material platform. Because the consciousness behind such activity is for Krishna, then all the ingredients involved becomes transcendental. Okay, continue. Therefore,
action in Krishna consciousness is always superior to renunciation, which always entails a risk of falling.
Okay, so that's another point. So Jnana Yoga, there's a risk of falling, whereas Krishna consciousness, we can always rise. Okay, then?
Renunciation without Krishna consciousness is incomplete.
Yeah, this is another point. Renunciation without Krishna consciousness is incomplete, whereas the other one is complete, as below. When persons eager to achieve, we can read the translation.
When person eager to achieve liberation renounce things related to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, thinking them to be material, their renunciation is called incomplete. Renunciation is complete when it is in the knowledge that everything is existence, in existence belongs to the Lord, and that no one should claim proprietorship over anything.
So here, the two types of renunciation is described. One is the complete renunciation and incomplete renunciation. So which is Falgu Vairagya and Yukta Vairagya. Right, we discussed these two definitions. So Falgu Vairagya is incomplete renunciation, where one thinks, can somebody define what is Falgu Vairagya?
Where one thinks that if he uses things, he'll get entangled and then he will not use them, or like...
So he'll just give up things.
Yeah.
Like, leave the world and leave the family and just go to the forest, and that's Falgu Vairagya. Whereas what is Yukta Vairagya, or the complete renunciation as given by our Acharya Rupa Goswami?
Engaging things in Krishna consciousness.
Okay, so knowing
personal.
Yeah, so knowing each of the entities connection with Krishna and using them in that connection is the proper renunciation. Because now we are no longer using them for our gratification, we are using for Krishna's gratification. And at the same time, it's very, very practical, because we cannot live in this world without using the things and doing things. Okay, so that's why these two renunciations, Falgu Vairagya, and that's the verse actually here. Okay, I can read that verse. Prapanchikataya buddhya hari sambandhi vastuna mumukshubi parityago vairagyam falgu katyate. It's telling about Falgu Vairagya. Okay, then very nice point Srila Prabhupada is telling later on. One should understand
that factually nothing belongs to anyone. Then where is the question of renunciation?
See that point?
Very nice point.
Once actually one of the disciples came to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, I want to renounce this world. I don't want to renounce my family. Something like that he said. Then Prabhupada said, what do you own in the first place to renounce? You have to renounce the idea that you own something. You have to renounce the idea that this belongs to me. But actually in the first place, it all belongs to Krishna. So we have to come over that, we have to purify ourselves to come to the state that this all these things doesn't belong to me. So where is the question of renunciation?
One who knows that everything is Krishna's property is always situated in renunciation.
Mm.
Since everything belongs to Krishna, everything should be employed in the service of Krishna. This perfect form of action in Krishna consciousness is far better than any amount of artificial renunciation by a sannyasi of the Mayavadi school.
Yeah, because it's very practical. right? It's very, it's very incremental also. It's not like, who is nowadays qualified to just give up everything and run away and do something, right? How many people can sustain? But whereas here, we can gradually make progress. Gradually find out more and more ways how we can engage more and more things in Krishna service. Initially, we may think, okay, only maybe prasad and the bhoga I put in front of Krishna, that is for Krishna. Rest of the things I do, work and family, everything is for me. Now, gradually, day by day, as we get purified, we see many things. How can be used in service to Krishna? Like one day we did exercise, how we can see kids as Krishna servants, right? Like that, gradually we make purification and we can see things differently. So now let's revisit our chart. So let's say there are two columns, right? One is, first is Krishna consciousness or devotional service, and the second one is Jnana Yoga or renunciation, right? Falgu, artificial, incomplete renunciation. So, what is the first point? Sorry, Prabhu.
Does not know the real identity, knows his real identity.
Or rather, we can say acting on real identity versus not acting. Because he may theoretically know.
Yeah.
Okay, this is a good point. I didn't write it. It's okay. Yeah, it's a good point. So, one Krishna conscious person is acting on his real identity or constitutional position. Whereas, other Jnana Yoga, he just theoretically knows probably and he doesn't act. He doesn't act in constitutional position, you can write.
Why doesn't he act in person acts on real identity. Is it true that renounced person doesn't act on real identity? So I think what I understood from the verse, the chances of, if you take the path of renunciation, the chances of falling down are much more than the chances of falling down in Krishna consciousness, because you are in the world at the same time, rotating everything.
But see, for example, this point, right? Therefore, what Prabhupada, therefore jnana or knowledge that one is not this material body but spiritual is not sufficient for liberation. So one has to,
referring to this point,
so just by, no, unless we have that,
just letting no class start, yeah. Just letting.
So unless one has that that constitutional position, he cannot sustain that. Even then, it's not practical. So therefore, Prabhupada, one has to act in the status of spirit soul. Otherwise, there is no escape from material bondage. So he'll come down to. So your question is whether Jnana Yoga or the renunciation of work, really that person acts without constitutional position. That's not clear. These two connections you are saying.
So I mean, based on whatever I read here, maybe the person who is renounced is also acting on the real identity.
So where is it given?
So mentions that action in Krishna consciousness is always superior to renunciation, which always entails a risk of falling.
Yeah.
So there is a risk of falling which is higher,
right,
when someone is taking to the path of renunciation. But if someone is able to practice it, hypothetical case, wouldn't that put him in a situation where he's acting on real identity?
Maybe not. Because our real constitutional position is a servant of Krishna, right?
Right.
Just by merely abstaining from activities or objects, how are we acting in that constitutional position? Right? So this is the Jnana Yoga renunciation of work, right? Where one is...
You cannot sustain in that kind of situation.
Yeah. We cannot sustain.
It's equivalent to the Brahmajyoti example.
Yes, exactly. So this is the Jnana Yoga platform, the Jnana Yoga path, where first they give up things. Actually, we'll build on this later on, where Krishna says actually these two paths should not be considered as two different paths. They are actually paths on the same goal. There we'll understand actually how these both things are interlinked with each other. This just one step, renunciation, because other step should be attachment again. without proper positive attachment, one cannot sustain. That's why here Prabhupada is saying, just by jnana, it's not sufficient. Okay. Next point, the chart.
So he said Krishna
consciousness
acting on real identity.
At least, we are not fully realized. Yeah. Exactly. We are not fully realized. But we are, whatever we are doing it for Krishna, that to that extent we are realized.
Like you said, constitutional position, each has a different thing. We are servants of Krishna. But when you say constitutional position, right, you mean that there is a, each one has a different relationship with Krishna. That's what is
right. Position. No. That is like more detailed rasa which is revealed. But basic constitutional position for everyone is we are servant of Krishna. So while we are now, like for example, 5% of my activities are Krishna conscious. So 5% I'm acting with that realization that I'm servant of Krishna. Right? So that 5% I am at least on the path of liberation. Of course, we can always say, the way Prabhupada talk about Krishna conscious person, he's talking about fully Krishna conscious person, not us. We may think, I'm Krishna conscious, so why am I like this, right? So that's a mistake we make. We are following the path of proper path of Krishna consciousness. We are following. We are not fully Krishna conscious.
But even though we don't have a jnana, we don't have full knowledge even, right?
Yes.
Means we are following Krishna consciousness path, but still we don't have that knowledge, yes.
Yes. We don't.
Just one line we know, yes, we are spiritual, but there are so much more
that's
knowledge.
Correct,
that
correct.
We don't have.
That's why I'm saying we are to the extent we are doing for Krishna, to that extent we have knowledge. Right? That's why we are able to do only that much. If we are fully realized that we are servant of Krishna, all our activities will be Krishna conscious. Right? Yeah. Okay. So second point then. About the purification of heart, right? In the Krishna consciousness, there is purification of heart. By mere renunciation, there is no purification. Okay. So then what's the next point?
Jnana is not sufficient for liberation.
Yeah, so it's essentially another way to put it is there is no escape from material bondage in the Jnana Yoga path. Because always one has to come down and act with material things, right? But whereas Krishna consciousness is, Prabhupada says, if you look at the, it's actually a path for liberation. It's a gradual path for liberation. Okay, next. Next one about completeness, incompleteness.
It's in full knowledge.
Third point is Krishna consciousness is it's a path for liberation, whereas renunciation, artificial, Jnana Yoga is there is no escape from material bondage. Then what about completeness, incompleteness?
Because in Krishna consciousness you believe no
bondage.
So which is complete, which is incomplete? Krishna consciousness is complete. You can write in brackets yukta, yukta vairagya. And renunciation, jnana yoga is incomplete, phalgu vairagya. So who, it's there here? Yeah, it's there. A little bit deeper if you read, Krishna consciousness is followed by devotees, renunciation is followed by mayavadis. That's what Prabhupada says, perfect form of action in Krishna consciousness is far better than any amount of artificial renunciation by sannyasi of Mayavadi school. Mayavadis are, mostly Mayavadis. Then the other point which comes later on, but just to complete this chart, Krishna consciousness is practical, whereas artificial renunciation or Jnana Yoga is troublesome. Krishna says in verse number 12.5, the same theme repeats.
What is he pointing us to? In renunciation,
risk of falling.
Yeah, so yeah, that's so what would you call yeah, so you'll fall down, but whereas in Krishna consciousness, how do you say the opposite? There is no risk for falling, right? That's what Prabhupada says. Yeah. That's another sub-point of this path for liberation and material bondage. So, you can write it under it or something, or it's up to you. Okay, so we'll go to this 12th chapter.
So, Jnana Yoga is troublesome, whereas Krishna consciousness is what?
Practical and joyful.
Yeah.
Can fall down, no risk of falling down.
So, in 12th chapter also, devotional service, Krishna again clarifies these two paths and says which is better. So, if we read 12.5, it's very clear where Krishna says about this. I'm just reading the translation. For those, 12th chapter, 5th verse. For those whose minds are attached to the unmanifested, impersonal feature of the Supreme. This is like, you know, the impersonalist. No, one aiming at Brahman realization. Advancement is very troublesome. To make progress in that discipline is always difficult for those who are embodied. So especially for embodied jivas like all of us, the path of meditating on the Brahman and reading the scriptures like Jnana Yoga path is very, very troublesome. Krishna himself is declaring. So just, you know, if you want to see where did it say in the purport troublesome, if somebody asks, you can write down 12.5 next to it. Okay. So from the essence, if you look at this chart, what do the essence we get? We get what Krishna is saying here, right? Devotion service is better than renunciation of work. Okay, so Prabhupada is substantiating with all these points. Anyway, we don't need to worry about all this since we don't even we are so much engrossed in sense gratification, we don't even think about normal renunciation. For us, you know, just we are struggling with Krishna consciousness. So it's okay. Okay, text number 3. Neyasa nitya sanyasi nyona veshti na kamshati nidvandvon hi mahabaho sukham bandhat pramuchyate. One who neither hates nor desires the fruits of his activities is known to be always renounced. Such a person, free from all dualities, easily overcomes material bondage and is completely liberated. O mighty armed Arjuna. So now Krishna is clarifying again, how does a person who is acting be liberated, be considered liberated or be considered free from material bondage? How does it happen? So this person who is acting, he neither hates nor desires the fruits of his activities. So he is not acting on the fruitive platform. Because he does like that, he is always renounced. Because he is not taking anything for himself. See, he is neither hating nor desiring. So whatever happens, it's like, you know, he is transparent to him. That, yeah, but indifferent.
This doesn't sound very different than the Jnana Yogi though, right? It doesn't sound very different. Right? One who neither hates nor desires the fruits of his activities is known to be always renounced. Such a person free from all dualities.
But the thing is, who can practically do it? That's the question. Jnana Yogi cannot do it practically, whereas devotion, yeah, without Krishna consciousness, you cannot do it practically, this one. That's why Prabhupada clarifies that in the purport. So such a person, free from all dualities, easily overcomes material bondage and is completely liberated, O mighty armed Arjuna. So this is called Nitya Sanyasi. This person who neither hates nor desires fruits of activities, Nitya Sanyasi. Nitya means always, right? Eternal. Nitya Sanyasi. That's why Krishna is saying always renounce. That's what is still in the translation, right? Sanskrit. Nitya Sanyasi. Krishna is saying always renouncer. So we'll read the last few lines of the purport. The concept of oneness.
The concept of oneness with Krishna is incorrect because the part cannot be equal to the whole. Knowledge that one is quality yet different in quantity is correct transcendental knowledge, leading one to become full in himself. Having nothing to aspire to or lament over. There is no duality in his mind because whatever he does for Krishna. Being thus freed from the platform of dualities, he is liberated even in this material world.
So he Prabhupada is now, if you note carefully, he is clarifying the words in the statements in the translation or you know the verse. So how does he neither hate nor desire the fruits of activities? Because he knows his constitutional position, that he is a part of the Krishna, part and parcel of Krishna, not identical with Krishna.
And he is doing everything in the service.
Service of Krishna. Therefore, he is full in himself. He doesn't aspire for or lament over anything. So he doesn't desire nor hate. Because he is full in himself in his activities of devotional service. Because of which there is no duality in his mind. Because whatever he does for Krishna. It doesn't matter whether it's heat or cold or you know somebody blasphemes him or somebody glorifies him. It doesn't matter. He's, whatever he does for Krishna. There is no, he's not wavering with the duality. Being thus freed from the platform of dualities, he's liberated. So what is real liberation? It's not the one which attain after the... one can attain while we are in this world. As long as we are free from dualities. So as a lotus leaf is not untouched by the water, a person who is fully Krishna conscious is free from dualities.
So there was one more point from the previous verse that can be added to this. Namadadi, I mean, so you are the servant of the Lord, so everything is His, so there is nothing that you own in this world.
Right.
So if something has come to you, He is a proprietor,
right,
and you just hand it over to Him.
Yeah.
And if something that you've lost, it's not your fault because it's His, you've got nothing to lose because there is nothing that is yours.
Mm.
So, we can relate it to
the
previous.
So, the previous point.
The point saying that there's nothing that belongs to you.
Yeah, yeah, there's nothing that belongs
to you. Also be one of the reasons why a transcendentalist would not be attached because nothing is His anyways.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, actually one point when Sri Harivilas Prabhu was giving a lecture on these words, he was mentioning a very significant point. He was saying, you are advanced in Krishna consciousness if you can be satisfied just by service. So just by doing service, if you can be satisfied, you know, that's the highest level of Krishna consciousness. So not the results of the service. Not even while doing service, okay, I get fame, reputation, or you know, some so many subtle things or so many gross things, or you know, I want to, let's say I want to give Bhagavad Gita class and people will give me money, gross level. Or subtle level is like fame, reputation, or you know, popularity or followers and so many things, right? Instead of aiming all of this, you just want to do your service because it's for Krishna and being satisfied with that. Then we are advanced. So that's where this person is. He doesn't hate or desire any results from his activities. So I was listening to Radhanath Maharaj's lecture about selflessness. So he was telling, he was emphasizing the whole lecture about selfless service, everything. And one person asked a question in the audience. So Maharaj, you know, we have families and all those things. Sometimes when we do service, we need money to maintain our service. You know, when we do certain services, we get money. So is that selfless service? No, Maharaj very clearly told, as long as you are getting money out of whatever service you are doing, it's not, to that extent, it's not selfless. It's not at all selfless. So, yeah, it was very surprising actually. In the, somehow that person was not able to digest it. So Maharaj repeated twice. No, it's, let me first let you first digest this one, he was telling Maharaj. No, like as long as you get money out of your service, to that extent, it's not selfless. We should, we don't probably look for money at least, but we have all the subtle things. Gradually it will come out.
And even gross
things,
we look for prasadam. So we'll get nice prasadam.
That's true. We attend programs, and especially Sunday programs, okay, we can, that family, so we get nice prasadam.
I enjoy that. I come for that.
But this is better than outside food, and
that's true.
Is not non-prasadam.
Yeah. whatever is you know is helping us hang on to Krishna, we'll just hang on.
You said right. Of course, we are not. At least we are not. I'm not on the platform. But you said whatever work you do is also service.
Work.
Work we do outside.
We get
then
money.
We get money. Is it not a service then?
Yeah, actually.
Selfless service, right?
That's yeah.
Okay.
It's not a selfless service.
So exactly, Maharaj clarified that later on. He says, if you do work, you get promotion, you get lot of money. And to with that money, completely you engage in Krishna consciousness, your work is selfless service. What do you do with that money? That's the point.
So same thing applicable to the previous example, right? Whatever the little money, whatever example you are telling, that money is used in Krishna consciousness service. Then it
no, that is work. But for example, let's say I am giving class. At the end of it, I cannot put a bucket and say, you know, put $5 here. That cannot be, I cannot say, this. I am using again that money in Krishna service and it can be selfless. That these cannot be done. Work anyway we have to do, right? Because for our family maintenance we have to do, we have to get money, right? So that we cannot avoid. But that what do we do with that money? How much Krishna consciously we are using that money? To that extent it's selfless. We gave so many times example of our God brother, right? How, or you know, so many people who use who rather, you know, have the realization that their work is a service to Krishna. So they do fully, you know, with so much dedication and determination, that service, and because the results, they completely use it in Krishna service. Actually, Mukundatta Prabhu, many of you might have met, he was mentioning about that Prabhu, that he was working at, actually when some tour or some preaching was happening, he was at work, weekend. Then he was saying, oh, where is that Prabhu? Then he said, no, he's at work. Oh, he's working for the tour. So that he can understand his consciousness. He's not working for Microsoft or something. He's working for Krishna. He's working for the tour or he's working for Krishna. So it's all about consciousness. Okay.
But these kind of points will remind us only when we are in sad mood.
Mm-hmm. Which points?
All these things, we are working for Krishna, those kind of things. Only when I am sad, I can recall them. But when I am happy and everything is going correct, I don't even remember them.
Today morning, that's what I was thinking when I was chanting. Right? This is okay, my mind is not sticking. Why? Because there is no trouble for me, my mind is wandering here and there. Suppose there's some pressure at work, it's like Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. That time it's fully, you know, nothing, work is, you know, just tapering off. Okay, what's going to go tomorrow? What's going to be for breakfast? What's going to be, you know, it's a very sad state of affairs.
Yeah. So that's why we should hear about the impermanent nature of this world again and again. You know, Krishna says, couple of places he tells in Bhagavad Gita that this is Dukkalayam Ashashvatam. This, and he also says Anityam Asukam Lokam. Now this place is a temporary place full of miseries. And he says it's Anityam Asukam, it's a temporary Asukam, yeah, temporary place full of miseries. Now we hear this but we don't have that realization. No, because we are still seeking some nectar from this world. We still haven't given up the idea that we can be happy in this world. So we still have, you know, one leg here, one leg, and slowly trying to put one leg in this boat. So that's why, you know, we want to cover ourselves with that illusion that I can be happy here. So then, that's why when we are distressed, that's when we want to call out, because we are selfishly calling out for Krishna. We are not calling out for Krishna because it's pleasing to Krishna. Right? We are calling out to Krishna because I am in pain.
Ultimately, still we are roaming around us. We
yes, exactly. Yes.
We are happy. It's okay. That's, we are in stress.
Of course, we should start. We are all starting there. But we should also know what is that selfless platform. You know, when we hear lectures and, you know, when we know that this is the goal, these are how our acharyas are praying, acharyas are acting. No, okay, I want to become like that one day. No, Krishna, let me be like that one person, you know, where I can selflessly just, you know, dedicate my whole life for you, and that too, if you trample me or embrace me, it doesn't matter. So We got it? No, it's not even that, okay, I'll selflessly dedicate to you, Krishna, that you will always take care of me nicely.
Mm.
Then, you know, Krishna can do anything, right? Mm. That time also, we should still say, you know, Krishna, I'm yours. We should come to that platform, you know, we should have that prayer. And also, especially what helped me in those situations when I feel like everything is going good and my chanting is slacking. So then I feel like, you know, that actually should give us impetus to chant better, because I know that, okay, now I'm going into the slacking mode. My determination to you, Krishna, is slacking. So, you know, please help me. Got it? I have certain level of standard I'm on to offer to you, Krishna. So now something is happening. That's why happiness also should impel us to take shelter of Krishna, because we should be afraid that this happiness is going to take us away from Krishna, or this happiness is going to bind us further. That should impel, no, Krishna, okay, something wonderful is happening, please save me, you know, let me not forget you. Let me always remember you in this. No, that's why, you know, when somebody glorifies, immediately we should remember Krishna. It's like, okay, because we may get attached to this. And we say, okay, let me, you know, just enjoy this position. That's why they say, right, 10% only, 10% you should associate with your advanced devotees. 10% you should associate with your juniors. But 80% you should associate with your peers. Why? Because when you are with advanced people, you know, you be in good behavior, you know. Okay, hello, sir, can I serve you? Can I give you water? You're in best behavior. Right? We also don't know that we have so many faults. We act in such a good way and we can cover ourselves. And when we are juniors, you know, we want to help them, you know, okay, yeah, this is the way you can take Krishna consciousness. So we also will be in good. With peers only, real thing comes out, because we cannot tolerate, you know, we cannot forgive. You know, it's a lot of friction,
ego,
everything comes out. So that's where real purification comes. It's like it is said as if lot of stones which are in very, very different shapes. Now some are in triangle, some are in square, so many things. They're all put in a bag and they're shaken together. So what happens? They all rub against each other and then they all become round. So that's how, you know, when we are in peer association, then we, you know, hit each other or get lot of beatings, we get purified, then we become very round and ready for Krishna service. So that's why, you know, we should avoid too much of advanced devotees association also, in one way. Okay.
So we all should meet regularly.
Yeah, that's why I'm praying. After the program in your home, I was always asking Prabhu, you know, we should have groups to, like, at home programs,
mm-hmm.
rather than. So we are praying for our kids to grow up a little bit. I was thinking, you know, now only they can do, but they will distract all of us and this thing. So we are praying for them to grow up, then we can have this satsangs together and, you know, have outings together, have kirtans and everything, especially with families. I want families. Otherwise, you know, husband listens and goes and wife doesn't listen, she's in a different mode. Unless family comes together, it's very difficult to progress together. So at least, you know, I'm hoping that day will come. So let's see if we speak together. Okay.
The light.
Do we open a little bit door?
Yeah.
Can open this door.
No, don't open the
door. Just for a year.
Oh, yeah. No, that can be opened.
No, no.
That's another reason. We just open the blind so that we get some more light.
Stick.
Just
stick.
Yeah.
Thank you, Swami.
No, we cannot open it. They are locked.
Yeah,
so the
doors
are.
Okay, we can put something to block this if you want.
Yeah, I think it is.
So we'll go to the next verse. Text number 4. Sankhya Yoga Pritak Bala Prabhadantina Pandita Ekam Abhyastita Samyak Ubayor Vindate Phalam. Only the ignorant speak of devotional service, Karma Yoga, as being different from the analytical study of the material world. Sankhya. Those who are actually learned say that he who applies himself well to one of these paths achieves the results of both. So this is where they unify. These two paths, Krishna is saying, they are not they are not two different paths. So only the ignorant, they speak of devotional service as different from Sankhya Yoga or Jnana Yoga, analytical study of the material world. Those who are actually learned knows that these both are actually steps in the same path. So we'll see how it is from the purport. So we can read first few lines. The aim of
the analytical study of the material world is to find the soul of existence. The soul of the material world is Vishnu or the super soul. Devotional service to the Lord entails service to the super soul. One process is to find the root of the tree and the other is to water the root. The real student of Sankhya philosophy finds the root of the material world, Vishnu, and then in perfect knowledge engages himself in the service of the Lord.
Okay, we can pause it. So you got it? Analytical study is about the Sankhya Yoga or Jnana Yoga. It's about researching, okay? Who is the source of this? Okay, first, body is made of material elements. Okay, who created earth? Who created water? So they keep doing research to find out what is the source. And ultimately, if they're successful, they'll come to the point that it's actually done by Vishnu rather than some scientists or Big Bang theory and so many nonsense things, right? So when they come to the real Sankhya, genuine Sankhya Yoga, let's say, they come to the root as Vishnu. Then what do they do once they find the root is Vishnu? Then they have to do, right? Okay, when I know the root of existence is Vishnu, and I'm the part of Vishnu, so okay, what is my connection with Vishnu? So I have to serve Vishnu. Then they begin devotion service. Whereas Krishna consciousness is like already watering the root, or rather already worshipping Vishnu. Even though we may not have full realization that we are servant of Krishna, we are theoretically accepting Krishna, we are Krishna servant, and we are beginning the journey already. And eventually we'll have full realization that actually I am servant of Krishna. Right? So that's why Prabhupada is saying the one process is finding the root of the tree. Find out, we are at, let's say, fruits. Okay, fruits, branches, come down, the stem, all those things, and then go down and say, oh, this is the root of the tree. But Krishna consciousness is directly watering the root. So it's that's why they are both, they are steps on the same path. So if you continue the purport, therefore,
in essence, there is no difference between the two because the aim of both is Vishnu.
Mm.
Those who do not know the ultimate end say that the purposes of Sankhya and Karma Yoga are not the same. But one who is learned knows the unifying aim in these different processes.
Yeah.
I understood that the essence is the same.
Hmm.
But in the previous verse, they are trying to distinguish both of them.
The path is different. No,
because the first line says only the ignorant speak, them as different, right?
Yes, same question.
So
they
I didn't
differentiate here, that they are different. Though the goal is same, Krishna is saying again here, ignorant only people are only one who tries to differentiate, knowledgeable people think both are same.
So, this is like, simultaneous oneness and difference. It's like that. You cannot say they are not different means they are completely exactly identical.
Yeah.
So, what is not different is the purpose of it. The essence of it is not different. But the practice is different. And that's why Krishna is saying which is better. Got it?
Yeah.
The aim is, that's why, the goal is same. The ultimate end is the same for both of them. But the practice, the path and the process is different for both of them. And Krishna says which is better.
But by looking at differences, it looks like it's unachievable.
Exactly. One is not practical, one is practical. Correct. Yes.
Basically, we can directly see it's unachievable.
Yes.
That path, then how come both are...
It's a lengthy process.
It's a lengthy process. Both are identical in the sense that will also lead, but eventually. That may take long time. Many, many lifetimes, Krishna says, actually, Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschit yatati siddhaye. Yattam api siddhanam kaschin mamveti tattva.
Basically, if someone can follow this path, even the Jnana Yoga path, very...
Eventually, they will come, yes. They will come to Vishnu. But it may take long time. Bahunam janmanamante, 19th verse, which chapter? Jnanaman mam prapadyante. So, 7th or something.
Elevator part.
Yeah, exactly.
719,
right?
Yeah.
719th verse, Krishna says the same point exactly. బహునాం జన్మనామంతే జ్ఞానమాన్ మాం ప్రపద్యంతే వాసుదేవం సర్వమితి సమహాత్మ సుదుర్లభ. ఆఫ్టర్ మెనీ బర్త్స్ అండ్ డెత్స్ హీ వాజ్ యాక్చువల్లీ ఇన్ నాలెడ్జ్ సరెండర్స్ అన్ టు మీ, నోయింగ్ మీ టు ద కాజ్ ఆఫ్ టు బీ ద కాజ్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ కాజెస్ అండ్ ఆల్ దట్ ఈస్ సచ్ ఎ గ్రేట్ సోల్ ఇస్ వెరీ రేర్. సో దిస్ జ్ఞానయోగ పీపుల్, ఇఫ్ యూ రీడ్ ద పర్పోర్ట్ ఆఫ్ 719 యూ విల్ సీ దట్స్ వాట్ ప్రభుపాద్ ఇస్ సేయింగ్. దీస్ పీపుల్ దే టేక్ మెనీ బర్త్స్ అండ్ డెత్స్ ఇన్ దిస్ నాలెడ్జ్. After cultivating that knowledge for so many lives, eventually they say, okay, Krishna, you are the one actually I have to surrender to.
In second chapter also, I think we read that in Sankhya Yoga, basically you research and after a lot of research, you come to the realization that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this, we are already assuming our basis so that we don't have to go through that.
Yes.
We are directly assuming that he is the Supreme Personality.
Yes, correct.
But then the end of the Jnana Yoga is the beginning of Krishna consciousness. It's not like end of Jnana Yoga is same as end of Krishna consciousness. Means at the end we are saying we are keep doing Jnana Yoga path, but at the end we are realizing one day, yes, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but that's the beginning of our Krishna consciousness.
No, but we are also not beginning with full realization, right?
We are not talking about ours.
So we are serving, but we don't have the realization, right?
We are assuming and then
the point that he is trying to make is, Mataji, even if you are completely realized, then even then you in the end you come back to just serving.
Yes, exactly.
So we are already
that's
serving.
Correct.
We are just
correct. Correct.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. So basically, this is a slower, or rather, if you say it, this is a step lower than, or rather, step leading to Krishna consciousness.
Basically, my question on the point that you said, the end goal of both is same. So.
You are not able to understand how it's same?
I'm saying the Krishna consciousness, the beginning itself is the same, right? Like in the Krishna consciousness, we are big. What is the beginning of Krishna consciousness? We are considering Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and here we are not. We are doing all material things.
With that assumption, we are serving, and then we'll realize at some point that Krishna is the Supreme. That is the realization.
Yeah.
In this also, they come to the realization by the time they complete this.
And we are directly going to a realization.
Yes. There is an overlap.
We are getting a realization while we are doing the service, right?
Yeah.
That's what it is.
I hope it's okay.
Your point is also correct. Like they start service after realizing.
Yeah.
But they realize that
they're not even realized. When they do research, they find out that Vishnu is the Supreme. It's not that they realize that I'm part and parcel of Vishnu.
After the research.
Even after research, they're just finding who is that object behind all these things. It's just research now.
So then what Abhidhar says is right.
That's
right.
Correct, yeah. So then after that, they then begin. So we don't have to do all that research because it's given to us by acharyas. Who is that Supreme? Who is the person?
So for Jnana Yoga, you don't have a guru. Is that what it is?
I don't know all that, but at least what it's about, the whole study is about finding the source. I don't know how many, so many people, if they find the source, one person should reveal to others, right? It should be easy.
But then they don't understand when they want to do that.
Yeah, everybody wants to go through that endeavor. It's like scientists, right? Prabhupada says each scientist has to speak something different. Otherwise, he's not called a scientist. Something different from all others. It's like that.
Yeah, I think Mata has happened to all of us as well, right? I mean, our parents have been believing right from their childhood that, you know, God exists. But then even though I heard it from them, I had to go through my own process.
Journey.
So I started studying, and then when things didn't make sense, and then, you know, at that point, I didn't believe completely. But then slowly...
That's right.
Study,
and whenever things are not
so we are also scientists.
we are not ready to accept it yet. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So we'll go to the next verse. Text number 5. Yat sankhye prapyate sthanam tat yogairapi gamyate ekam sankhyam cha yogam cha ya pashyati sa pashyati. One who knows that the position reached by means of analytical study can also be attained by devotional service, and who therefore sees analytical study and devotional service to be on the same level sees things as they are. Yeah, the same thing again, right? One who knows that the position reached, ultimate position reached by analytical study can also be attained by devotion service. And therefore, they see both of them as, like, you know, different paths, basically. Then they see things as they are. So we'll give a very nice, or rather, you know, Prabhupada has given a very nice example to understand this. So let's read the purport. From third line, by Sankhya philosophical research.
By
By Sankhya philosophical research, one comes to the conclusion that a living entity is not a part and parcel of the material world, but of the supreme spirit whole.
Yeah, so that's the conclusion they get. No, what am I made of? Okay, first, you know, the skin and all these material elements, they go down, down. They finally, they find out that that living entity is actually not part of this world. Consequently,
the spirit soul has nothing to do with the material world. His actions must be in some relation with the supreme. When he acts in Krishna consciousness, he is actually in his constitutional position.
So here Prabhupada clarified two parts, the first one and the second one. First one is, he comes to know that he is not part of the world and then he starts acting. But whereas Krishna consciousness, he already acts in constitutional position.
In the first process, Sankhya, one has to become detached from matter. And in the devotional yoga process, one has to attach himself to the work of Krishna consciousness. Factually, both processes are the same. Although superficially, one process appears to involve detachment and the other process appears to involve attachment. Detachment from matter and attachment to Krishna are one and the same. One who can see this sees things as they are.
So
it's easy or confusing? What is it?
Yeah, well, it's ambiguous. It's not confusing.
So that means Jnana Yoga is, I mean, at the end of Jnana Yoga, you do get the realization. That's what it says, right?
You understand.
It's the start of the, that it'll do service.
That's okay, we'll forget about the start thing.
Okay.
So, we'll, no, at the end of Jnana Yoga, the conclusion, at the end of Sankhya research, conclusion is that one understands that living entity is not a part and parcel of this world. So then he starts serving. Then finally he'll have realization. I'm not sure whether it's clear whether by doing this rituals when it comes to that realization that I am part of the whole. I don't think that's what is mentioned here. One understands theoretically that, you know, I don't belong here. So okay, then if I don't belong here, where do I belong? Okay, I belong to Vishnu. Okay, then I should serve the Vishnu. How do I do? So it's like that. Maybe by doing so much study and all those things, I may have little realization. I'm not sure. Okay, so this, what about this detachment, attachment? So, Swami Prabhu, you had any question?
Right, Mataji. So, you know, I understand that you're attached to matter right now, right?
Huh.
So, if you let go, it's not that you are going to get attached to Krishna only, right?
Yes.
That is what was ambiguous. Other than that, it was not.
In this dual, right, you are detaching yourself from matter and you have realized that you are the part and parcel of Vishnu. So which means you are getting detached and naturally
and
you are getting closer to something else. Yeah. Because you have realized and then at the
what
same time you are getting detached as well.
No, so that is our Krishna consciousness. That's
what?
Our. Yeah. So okay, let me first clarify this example. So Sankhya Yoga is all about detachment from matter, you know, neti, 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 or like, you know, first, okay, avoid things, you know, this is matter, no, I'm actually spirit soul, so okay, let me not do anything with matter. That's why, you know, we talked about renunciation, Krishna, the original path of renunciation. It's all involved about lot of study, scriptural study, research, all those things, and trying to abstain from material things. Just mere renunciation without positive engagement. That's what it is. Okay? So it's all about first get detached. Okay, let me get detached. For example, Mayavadi sannyasis. Mayavadi school, actually the philosophy, they can't even practice the process until they take sannyas. That's where they begin, their beginning is. But for us, while being a grihastha itself, we are considered sannyasis. Because we are engaging everything in Krishna service. Okay? So they first do detachment. But whereas in devotional yoga process, one the whole thing starts about attaching oneself for Krishna. Prabhupada always said, you know, don't give up anything, just add Krishna. So we start, our process is about positively getting attached to Krishna. Just do activities to getting attached to Krishna. So what is the result of that? Automatically we get detached from matter. So that effect is already achieved in bhakti yoga. So the example is like, the example Prabhupada elsewhere gives is like, if somebody is holding a rock and the goal, end goal is to hold an axe, right? One thing is, the Sankhya Yoga process is like, okay, I'll slowly drop the rock and slowly get the axe. So two steps. First I'll drop the rock, that's, and then I'll stay there for some time and then take the axe. Two steps. Detachment and then gradually attachment. Eventually, if you are lucky, if somebody doesn't take the axe away, let's say, you know, somebody shows us the path that, you know, we have to worship the Vishnu. Otherwise, I may stay in that level where I don't have anything in my hand, an impersonal Brahman without realization, without connection with Krishna. But whereas other side is, somebody knows, okay, I have a rock in my hand, I have an axe, just drop it, I'll start taking it already. Then while I start taking it, I'm going to drop this anyway. I can't hold two things in my hand, hopefully. So, but we are all holding that. So then
we are just holding the rock, we are touching, we are trying to touch the rock.
Yeah, so
we are not letting, trying to let go of
this. Yeah. So we hold the axe and then automatically we drop the, slowly drop the rock. So that is the Krishna consciousness, where we get attached to Krishna, then gradually, automatically we get detached from matter. But whereas the Sankhya Yoga process is, first get completely detached, then do something positive. But in that process, as we discussed earlier, it's not practical. We come act on the pretty platform because there is no way, there is no active engagement for our senses in the impure state. While we are in impure, while we are following this Jnana Yoga process, if the senses need engagement, desires, let's say, you know, I want to eat. While I'm in the path of Jnana Yoga platform, how do I curtail this propensity to eat? What do I do about it? No, I should just say, no, don't eat. How much I can do like that? The moment I go to a restaurant, immediately I want to eat. Yeah. Right? So that's why Prabhupada is saying, we always come back to that bondage. We cannot get out of this bondage. It's not at all practical in this age. But whereas what we do is, we know, there is Krishna eats prasad bhoga. So I can eat prasadam. So if I have tendency to eat, or we all have tendency to eat, then I eat prasadam. Then automatically I am getting detached from eating for sense gratification. So that's why Prabhupada is saying detachment from matter and attachment to Krishna are one and the same. But there is a state where you get detached from matter without getting attached to Krishna. So that's not the same. Got it? One who can see things as they are, one who can see this, sees things as they are. So the essence we can understand from this is the Jnana Yoga, the goal we can reach by Jnana Yoga, we already are reaching through devotional service. If that much we can understand, we are happy. Forget about, you know, which step comes first, which comes first, all those things. You know, we should have this understanding from all of this. Whatever destination we reach by doing philosophical research, we are already getting it. We are not missing out anything in Krishna consciousness. If that much realization we have, eventually we don't get distracted by, okay, let me do some research, who is supreme. No, we don't need to do that. Got it?
I think whatever we discussed earlier about these terms, it's same we are talking right now.
Yeah.
It is nothing
more confusing. Okay.
Re-emphasizing, that's the reason.
Because you forget, right?
Yeah, Krishna is also re-emphasizing. That's why, you already said it's better. But again, he's saying they should not consider them as separate. That's what Krishna is saying, no?
Okay.
Jnana Yoga is also leading to the same. So you should not think I'm missing out something if I don't do Jnana Yoga. Because many people are attracted to that form of yoga. They say, why I should do Bhakti Yoga? I will do Jnana Yoga. So somebody who understands the goal of Jnana Yoga is to do devotional service eventually. And he's intelligent enough, then let me do the elevated path rather than gradually doing research and coming to that. That's why these are all really jnana, right? So it's too much for us to understand.
I have one more question, Mataji. In this person, we have talked about the karma yoga is a devotional service, and whatever the karma we are doing, that is a separate from karma yoga, or karma is like some work, everyone is working, right? So where that work stands, let's say for example, Arjuna, his main job is to fight. So where that fighting is fitting in the karma yoga?
So karma
service, I understand, but where that real action, that is a part of that, like we are going office and working, where that karma is fitting here in karma yoga?
So yoga means connection with supreme.
Yes.
So karma yoga means when we realize our work or act is the realization that our work is a service to Krishna, then we are doing karma yoga.
So basically that work itself is
yes
devotion.
The work itself becomes devotion. So that's why Prabhupada interchangeably uses bhakti yoga, karma yoga, buddhi yoga, everything.
Yeah.
He says devotion service because that's what ultimately everything is. It's devotion service. Otherwise one may find that, you know, oh, actually Krishna talks about so many different yogas. Where is it emphasized? Today I was listening to that. You know, where is it emphasized that bhakti is the one which is topmost? That's given in 6th chapter, last verse. Yoginam api sarvesham madgate nantaratmana. So Krishna says clearly in all these chapters he emphasizes one thing or the other. For third chapter it's karma yoga, right? Fourth chapter is jnana yoga. Fifth chapter is some type of karma yoga. It's acting in karma yoga. And sixth chapter is jnana yoga. Now then, where is bhakti yoga? So it starts from 7th. And middle 6 chapters are all about bhakti from 7th chapter. And that conclusion, or rather in the conclusion, Krishna gives in 6th chapter. So last verse in 6th chapter, he tells that actually bhakti yoga is the topmost. Or bhakti yogi is the topmost. So yoginam api sarvesham madgate nantaratmana shraddhavan vajate yomam same yuktatamo mataha. And of all yogis, the one with great faith who always abides in me, thinks of me within himself and renders transcendental loving service to me, he is the most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. That is my opinion. So all these types of karma yoga, dhyana yoga, of course for us Prabhupada tells all of them as devotional service, but if somebody sees them as separate, right? So Krishna is clarifying very clearly, of all of this, bhakti yogi is the topmost. You had something? Light. Okay. Yeah, we wanted to do one more verse. Yeah, this is also a very simple verse. We can cover that. Sanyasastu mahabaho dukkam aptum ayogata yoga yukto munir brahma nachire nadikachati. Merely renouncing all activities yet not engaging in devotion service of the Lord cannot make one happy. But a thoughtful person engaged in devotion service can achieve the supreme without delay. So again same thing, right? Krishna is clearly telling just by renouncing we will not be happy because we cannot sustain. But whereas one who is engaged in devotional service also attains the supreme and also without delay. So here in this purport, Prabhupada talks about two types of sannyasis. Mayavadi sannyasi and Vaishnava sannyasi. So we can also have a chart of this. So we'll just read, and if you find something, you can make a note and at the end we'll review that. So there are, if somebody
two classes of sannyasis or persons in the renounced order of life. The Mayavadi sannyasis are engaged in the study of Sankhya philosophy, where the Vaishnava sannyasis are engaged in the study of Bhagavatam philosophy.
So that's the first point. What do they study? Mayavadi sannyasis study Sankhya, whereas devotees study Vaishnava sannyasis studies Bhagavatam.
Which affords the proper commentary on the Vedanta sutras. The Mayavadi sannyasis also study the Vedanta sutras, but use their own commentary called Sharirika Bhashya, written by Shankaracharya. The students of the Bhagavata school are engaged in the devotional service of the Lord according to Pancharatri regulations, and therefore the Vaishnava sannyasis have multiple engagements in the transcendental service of the Lord. The Vaishnava sannyasis have nothing to do with the material activities, and yet they perform various activities in their devotional service to the Lord. But the Mayavadi sannyasis, engaged in the study of Sankhya and Vedanta and speculation, cannot relish the transcendental service of the Lord.
Okay, so that's another difference. Vaishnava sannyasis engaged in transcendental service of the Lord, or you know, multiple engagements in transcendental service of the Lord. Whereas Mayavadi sannyasis, they have no engagement. They cannot relish the transcendental service.
Because their studies become very tedious, they sometimes become tired of Brahman speculation, and thus they take shelter of the Bhagavatam without proper understanding. Consequently, their study...
So that's another thing. Study of the Mayavadi path is very tedious and tired. They get tired, whereas Vaishnava path, we know it's very joyful. Krishna says in 9.2, right? It's joyfully performed.
Consequently, their study of Srimad Bhagavatam becomes troublesome. Dry speculations and impersonal interpretations by artificial means are all useless for the Mayavadi sannyasis.
So again, another point is one becomes happy and troublesome. The other side is troublesome.
The Vaishnava sannyasis who are engaged in devotional service are happy in the discharge of their transcendental duties, and they have the guarantee of ultimate entrance into the kingdom of God. The Mayavadi sannyasis sometimes fall down from the path of self-realization and again enter into material activities of a philanthropic and altruistic nature, which are nothing but material engagements.
Okay, so devotees have guaranteed entrance into kingdom of God, whereas Mayavadi sannyasis fall down from the path and they engage in material activities.
Therefore, the conclusion is that those who are engaged in Krishna conscious activities are better situated than the sannyasis engaged in simple speculation about what is Brahman and what is not Brahman, although they too come to Krishna consciousness after many births.
So the conclusion is that those who are engaged in Krishna conscious activities are better situated because of this chart. Better situated than the sannyasis engaged in simple speculation about what is Brahman and what is not Brahman, although they too come to Krishna consciousness after many births. That is that 7.19th verse, Bahunam Janmanam Ante. So ultimately they will also come to understand that Krishna is the supreme and have to surrender. But after long, tedious, tiresome, arduous journey, troublesome journey, they come. Yeah, so another point could be they are all Vaishnava sannyasis are already Krishna conscious, they are already on the path of Krishna consciousness. Mayavadi sannyasis, they come after many, many births.
Good delay.
Yeah. Krishna says without delay for us, and they have a lot of delay. So all this, why is Krishna saying all this? Because Arjuna asked a question, which is better, you know, just renouncing activities or work in devotion. So Krishna is clarifying and emphasizing and saying that actually both lead to the same goal, which is liberation. But work in devotion is much more practical and effective and happy. Okay. So the next section we'll cover next time, in the 7 to 12, it's about the action in Krishna consciousness, or you know, the actual Nishkama Karma Yoga performance. Now, how do one act in Krishna consciousness? So actually first to 12 verses is first section. Okay. Too intellectual, too much jnana, right? Any more questions or comments?
What's the title of the first section?
It's was there in the. Okay, I didn't write it here. 1 to 6 is Nishkama Karmaga. Okay, I split it actually. It's different from what male Prabhu sent. 1 to 6 is Nishkama Karma is easier than renouncing work. That's what we discuss, right, all the time. Nishkama karma, working in detachment, is easier than renouncing work. 7 to 12 is the next section, is performance of Nishkama karma. Once we know it's easier, we want to follow it. How do we do it?
What is 7 to 12?
Performance? Is action in Krishna consciousness or performance of Nishkama karma. What is Nishkama? Everybody knows, right? Prabhu, you want to add something? You can stop here.